I'm going to repeat that. Good evening.
Good evening.
The crowds are overwhelming, but welcome to the God School. Tonight, we are going to be continuing in this study that we started a couple of weeks ago. And it's important for this to be done. In my preparation for today, I was on a computer and on the internet, and there were, I don't know how it works, but there were pop-ups that came up talking about the Bible subjects and this, that, and the other thing, and something about Christianity, and you know, I popped it up and I looked at it, and I started to read it. It was written by some woman. Doesn't make her all bad, but it was written by some woman, and this was the testimony of an atheist on the question, does God exist? And you know, I had to read about five pages before I encountered the Bible. It gave me all the science about the relationship of the earth to the sun and the moon and the other planets, and you know, all that it takes to keep us going. And it talked about water and you know, the unbelievable benefits of water and the human brain and this, that, and the other. And it didn't get to the Bible. In fact, I don't know that I encountered the word Bible until she quoted a verse, John 3:16, which was about, you know, five pages into her dissertation. And look, all that she had to say was correct. But what we see in nature tells us, you know, there had to be a creator. But the Bible tells us who He is and what He's doing. And I find it fascinating the apologetics, that's a big word, the arguments that are being made for Christianity outside of Scripture. You know, what happened to delving into this book to learn about and understand, and through that understanding, have the relationship and grow the relationship through ever-increasing faith with God, our Creator and Redeemer and Savior. You know, that's the first free thought I have for you tonight. There's a day coming. Well, I'm going to hold that back. Y'all know of my admiration for Charles Spurgeon and how vivid I think he causes Scripture to come alive. And so I want to share this evening, before we get to the heart of the message, the reading for this morning. It comes from John 4:14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, you know, God made men. Now, this is, I'm not reading Spurgeon yet. God made men. And the Bible tells us that He chose some men as gifts to the church, as gifts to his body for edifying. I'm going to take Spurgeon on in a couple of places here tonight. His message is most solid. But he uses a couple of words that I believe for full edification need to be explained. And we'll start out right at the beginning. It says, he who is a believer. Now, this is the God school, and we have gone over this word, believer, and in our vocabulary in here, we choose to use the word faither, one who is acting in faith, one who is acting on the promises of God, one who hangs the body on the promises of God, one who does it with confidence. It's not just an assent to the mind. So when I use the word faither, I am correcting, I believe by permission, our brother Spurgeon. But it says, he was a faither. See, we're all trained one way. We're trying to change that. He who is a faither in Jesus finds enough in his Lord to satisfy him now and to content him forevermore. The faither is not the man whose days are weary for want of comfort and whose nights are long from absence of heart-cheering thought, for he finds in religion such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation, that he is content and happy. Now, I'm sure, Nick, you picked up on this. But here's where I want to stop and I want to say something. It says, whose nights are not long from absence of heart-cheering thought, for he finds in religion such a spring of joy. I understand the difficulty in effectively communicating. I want to make a statement here that at the God School, we are not religious. This is not a set of rules. What is religion? Religion is something that man has made up and calls it what God wants. That's not religion. God did not come, Jesus Christ did not come to establish a religion. He came to save sinners. And those who have heard the report and whose heart has responded to that report of salvation, they are faithers. And they are operating in faith. And it is that operation of faith that brings the joy and consolation that our brother Spurgeon says comes from religion. Religion is not. Look at what religion is. And I don't care what the object of worship, whether it be Buddha or Confucius or Allah through Muhammad. I mean, look at that. I mean, there's a very present example, a very obvious example about religion, what religion will do to you. We can look through history at that which was called religious and what they did. I just was reading, there was an early missionary to the Spanish back in the 1500s who was devastated by the atrocities that the church was perpetrating on the Indians of South America. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, and that's not what I'm trying to get across here. What I'm trying to get across is, you know, God has gotten a bad name through religion. And my hope is that I might effectively communicate to you the fear that you should have of becoming religious. It's a dangerous thing. The Amplified Bible translates a verse in Acts 17:22 that says, when Paul's speaking to the Greeks on Mars Hill, the King James translates it, "I find that you are too superstitious, and you could check pretty much any other English translation, and what the way it's translated is that you are very religious." And the Amplified, and I, for no other reason, I love this book, The Amplified. The Amplified gives you a sense that if you had full use of the language of the day and all its idioms and all its idiosyncrasies, they try to amplify a statement that you really understand what's being said. And what it says there is, "I find that you are most religious," and then it says, in parentheses, which is the amplification, it says, "very reverent to demons." I mean, religion. Religion. It's a dangerous thing. My hope is that through this teaching, we become faithers and come into that relationship where we have placed our trust in Christ and not all that religious stuff. So let me go on. Let me repeat this now. The faither is not a man whose days are weary for want of comfort, and whose nights are long from absence of heart-cheering thought. For he finds in faith such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation, that he is content and happy. Put him in a dungeon, and he will find good company. That doesn't have anything to do with religion. So, he used the word, but he's obviously describing something else. Place him in a barren wilderness, and he will eat the bread of heaven. Drive him away from friendship, and he will meet the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Blast all his gourds, and he will find shadow beneath the rock of ages. Sap up the foundation of his earthly hopes, but his heart will still be fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's not religion. Words added. The heart is as insatiable as the grave till Jesus enters it. And then it is a cup full to overflowing. There is such a fullness in Christ that He alone is the faither's all. The true saint is so completely satisfied with the all-sufficiency of Jesus that he thirsts no more except it be for deeper draughts of the living fountain. In that sweet manner, faither, shalt thou thirst. It shall not be a thirst of pain, but of loving desire. You will find it a sweet thing to be panting after the fuller enjoyment of Jesus' love. That's not religion. One in days of yore said, I have been sinking my bucket down into the well full often. But now my thirst after Jesus has become so insatiable that I long to put the well itself to my lips and drink right on. And we thought right on was a modern day expression. Is the feeling of your heart now? Is this the feeling of your heart now, Father? Do you feel that all your desires are satisfied in Jesus? And that you have no want now but to know Him more and to have a closer fellowship with Him? Then come continually to the fountain and take of the water of life freely. Jesus will never think Jesus will never think you take too much, but will ever welcome you, saying, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I thank you, Lord, for Charles Spurgeon. Now, this is kind of a piggyback on that same subject. I'm reading a book today and came across this poem and thought I'd share it with you. And is there none before? No perfect peace, unbroken by the storms and cares of life, until the time of waiting for Him cease by His appearing to destroy the strife. No, none before. Do we not hear that through the flag of grace, by faithful messengers of God unfurled, all men will be converted? And the place of man's rebellion be a holy world? Yes, we so hear. Is it not true that to the church is given the holy honor of dispelling night and bringing back the human race to heaven by kindling everywhere the gospel light? It is not true. Is this the hope? That Christ the Lord will come in all the glory of His royal right, Redeemer and Revenger, taking home His saints and crushing the usurper's might? This is the hope. I thought this apropos, because when I read this third stanza, is it not true to the church is given the holy honor of dispelling night and bringing back the human race to heaven by kindling everywhere the gospel right? And then I read the response, it is not true, and I said, wait a minute. You know, I was getting into the good sounding stuff. And I said, well, what's this guy talking about? No, it's not true. Is it not true that the church, that to the church is given the holy honor of dispelling night? No, I'm afraid not. That honor belongs to one and one only. That is, he who said, I am the light of the world. That is, Jesus Christ. You watch what the church, you watch what religion has done. I hate religion. I don't want to get fanatical about it, but I want to make an impression. I hate religion. And I want to tell you, I think I'm in good company. Because the Bible that I read tells me those principally being recipient of Jesus' scorn and hatred were the religious people of his day. Not because they were sinners. The Bible tells us Christ came to save sinners. But because they were religious, they thought they were something. They did all the do-dos and didn't do all the don't-dos. They had their set of rules, which is religion. And it's not faith. It is a practice of self-righteousness. Look, I can perform. Give me your list. Why do you think today? I mean, I'm watching story after story about how popular, you know, the Muslim religion is becoming. And it's a set of rules. And people have some understanding of that phrase in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And, you know, if you would put a corral around me and fence me in, I wouldn't go astray. And fence me in by your rules and your regulations and your qualifications. But the Bible says Jesus came to set us free. And the rules, the law of the Old Testament was nailed to the cross. The laws that were against us were nailed to the cross and taken out of the way. And Christ came to set us free. Now, am I promoting anarchy, no rules, no ordinances? No, I'm not. But I am promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That for faith, God gives us life eternal. Not for responding to rules, and not through human understanding, which was the emphasis of this woman's dissertation on Christianity today. It's not that. It is now by the calling of God, not something you or I desired, but something that God desired. And by God's Spirit, we are called into this relationship. This life of faith. Not of rules and regulations, not of religion. I tell you, religion's going to send more people to hell than All, as Martin Luther said, then all the bars and brothels in the world. Jesse. Because therein, that is, in religion, people think they have qualified. That's why I had to correct Spurgeon. That's why I was taken aback about this statement. You know, isn't it true that to the church is given the holy honor of dispelling night and bringing back the human race to heaven by kindling everywhere the gospel light? No, it's not true. God, in Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, is doing that. The church, that is, those who belong to Jesus, are the recipient. Now, I really didn't plan to go here tonight. But I'm grateful I did. To those who have ears, let them hear. Now,